when Israel was in Egypt's land, let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt's land. Tell all the Pharaoh to let my people go.
I began with that slave song because before we get caught up in the next three plagues, I want us to remember the background. The daily experience of 2 million Hebrew slaves. Let me tell you something that brought it home to me. As I was going round, a lady kind of pushed past me because there were quite narrow corridors and gangways. And she stood at the next set of exhibits in a glass container. She was a black lady, and as she looked at them, she looked down, and then she looked at me and shook her head. What happens in the first chapters of Exodus is awesome and brutal. It's easy to get drawn into the horror of the plagues, even to ask ourselves whether we approve of what God was doing. Perhaps you've even started feeling a little bit sorry for Pharaoh. We need to see what it was really like. Let's have a look at what's gone on so far. Firstly, 400 years of slavery and oppression for the Israelites. Secondly, at exactly the right time, God responded to their prayers and sent Moses to speak to Pharaoh on his behalf. Then four times, God tells Pharaoh to let his people go. The last verse of chapter 8 sums it up. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also. That was the fourth time. And he did not let the people go. Let's see what happens in chapter 9. It's a tale of diseased animals, boils, and extreme weather. Let's read the first three verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and speak to him. Thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and continue to hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will come with a very severe pestilence on your livestock. We're told again in verse 7, Pharaoh's heart was still hard. What do you think God would do when Pharaoh ignored him? Look at verses 13 and 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For this time I will send all my plagues on you, and your servants and your people, so that you may know that there is no one like me in all the earth. As we recoil at what God is about to do, ask yourself, would you prefer God just to give up on his enslaved people? At this point, there was a different reaction from some of the Egyptian people. Some, we're told in verse 20, brought their livestock and families inside to avoid God's anger with Pharaoh. So with crumbling public support and a realization that he wasn't a god at all, the tables are turned. Pharaoh actually sends for Moses. I bet Moses felt a little bit like piggy in the middle. Let's see what Pharaoh had to say. Verse 27. Then Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron and said to them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is the righteous one, and I and my people are the wicked ones. It sounds like Pharaoh's starting to share out the blame. Not just me, my people as well. Then Pharaoh promises to free God's people, but Moses is sceptical. Verse 30, he says to Pharaoh, but as for you and your servants, I know that you do not yet fear the Lord God. Perhaps you think Moses should have shown a little bit more good faith and trusted Pharaoh. Not really. Pharaoh had previous. He'd already promised to free them, but had gone back on his word twice before. We should grasp how stubborn and how uncaring Pharaoh was. His heart was hard as stone and cold as ice. Pharaoh thought he could do whatever he wanted, even with God's people. Pharaoh was quite happy to consign the Israelite nation to another 400 years of slavery. The Egyptian nation were quite happy to look the other way. We've let slavery back into our country in the last generation. How sad if we Christians find excuses and look the other way. William Wilberforce was a devout Christian. He spent 40 years, his whole career in Parliament, demanding that they get rid of slavery. The month he died, the law was passed into Parliament. Slavery was abolished in the whole British Empire, which was a third of the world. 100 years before the Americans got rid of it. And now it's back in our country. Anyway, back to Egypt. You may think perhaps God should have negotiated with Pharaoh a bit more, done a deal with him. Maybe you think he should have been more accommodating. After all, think how it would affect the Egyptian economy and all the other excuses people make when they realise they're going to lose power. Let's look at how God relates to a man who is not listening. Let's examine this, because sometimes we can be a bit like Pharaoh. Like a lot of people, he thought, I'll decide, and no one tells me what to do. I know sometimes I've been a bit like that. We all have strategies for not listening, don't we? I remember not listening to God about smoking. I had all the excuses, even the jokes. I'm no quitter. And I can give up whenever I want. I've done it 100 times. It was clear to everyone else that I should do this. My dad, he died of smoking. And his dad died of smoking too. It was a no-brainer. Funny thing was though, I couldn't see it for 3 years. Anyway, with all the new respiratory problems we've got in the country, I'm glad God got through to me in my 20s. Otherwise, I don't think I'd be here now. It's funny how we want to negotiate with God when he tells us something. I can remember saying to him, "Okay, Lord, just one pack a day." And then another time, "Okay, Lord, I'll give up after the weekend." In Exodus, we learn, if something's not right, God doesn't negotiate. Over and over again, he kept telling Pharaoh the same thing. "Let my people go. I want them free." What is my message? It's simple, really. It doesn't even need an outline. My message is this. Listen to God. Apparently, one way or another, we're told in the Bible over 500 times to listen to what God says. You'd think that would be enough. But when we want to know something, what do? We Google it. Or we go on Facebook and see how many of our friends agree with it. Perhaps you've spent the last year watching the propaganda on the news. Or listening to all the adverts that want to sell you things you don't need. Let me plead with you. Put more effort into listening to God. How? By thinking about and trusting in God's word. It works much better than our feelings. It does. Or are we like Pharaoh? We know better than God. The story of the farmer sowing the seeds in Mark 4 is a list of strategies we use to avoid listening to God. Some listen to other voices and ignore what God says, too insensitive to give him their attention. Some are shallow and without conviction, unwilling to make an effort to put it into practice. Others want things that don't really matter. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things. All of these stop us listening to God and taking him at his word. There are lots of strategies we use to avoid what God tells us to do. Notice how God speaks to Pharaoh through Moses. It's not complicated. He just says 10 times, "Do this, or tomorrow this will happen." Sometimes God just tells us how it is, and we might not like it, but it's just how it is. When Jesus said we can't serve God and money, he wasn't being vindictive. He wasn't saying, "I won't let you serve both." It was just a statement of fact. That's how it is here between God and Pharaoh. Like one of the laws of physics. Gravity attracts. It's just how it is. If I let go of the glass, it's attracted to the earth. Whatever we think, whatever we Google or vote for, it falls to the ground. That's how it is here in Exodus. "Let my people go, or this will happen." That's how it is when God tells us something. God kept saying to Pharaoh, "Do this, or tomorrow this will happen." We should grasp God doesn't have a plan B for us to discuss with him. He tells us in Jeremiah 29, "He knows the plans he has for us, plans for good and not for evil, to give us a future and a hope." He wants what's best for us, real freedom, even when we want slavery and things that spoil our lives. When people are confronted by something they don't like, it doesn't disappear. They're like little kids pretending. We too pretend we can't see it. This is a picture of my grandson pretending we're not enjoying ourselves with his brother in the sandpit. Why? Because he wanted to go to another sandpit. We cover our ears and hide our eyes. Over and over again, God said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go, or tomorrow this will happen." We're told to learn from this in the New Testament. It says in Hebrews 3, "Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts." I could add, like Pharaoh did. Why? Because if you don't listen to God, you won't enter his rest, the next chapter tells us. It says, put it into practice today. Pharaoh wanted plan B, his own plan. We're a bit like that too, sometimes, aren't we? We want to negotiate with God. Okay, Lord, I know this problem needs to be sorted. Just let me do this first. Or let me do this instead. Or perhaps if I spend a bit longer on this other problem. Somehow, like Pharaoh, we get it into our minds. We can get round it without doing what God tells us. And all the time we're not at peace. We haven't entered his rest. We have this struggle bubbling away inside and we just can't get rid of it. I mentioned before, Pharaoh was enslaved too. He was a slave to his own ego, his own carefully cultivated reputation, and certainly to his own lust for power. He was enslaved by things that he felt forced him to do what didn't make any sense. Are we like Pharaoh? Like him, you probably don't think of yourself as a slave. But the New Testament says, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. If we keep giving in to greed, alcohol, anger, envy, pornography, whatever it is, we keep giving into it, we become enslaved by it. Something bigger than us has to come along and say, if you don't let go, tomorrow this will happen. We can't play with sin without getting entangled and enslaved by it. So what's the answer? Take your hands off your ears and listen to God. Do what Pharaoh should have done a bit earlier. Let go of what belongs to God. You can't serve God and anything else. Listen to God by being sensitive to his spirit speaking to you in your heart. Listen to God by really getting into his word every day. We all have the choice to ignore God, but we ought to grasp that what he tells us is to protect us. He wants us under the shadow of his wings, where he knows we're safe. If he tells you to do something, trust it, do it, be transformed by it. It's the safest way to live.
Let's pray. Father, help us to be sensitive to what you tell us when your spirit speaks to our spirit. Speak to us clearly and in a way we will understand through your word. Father, we ask that you would get through to us. We want to listen to you. Keep us safe under the shadow of your wings and free to serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.